You're listening to the Favorite Marriage Podcast, a place where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the Favorite Marriage Podcast, where we are passionate about the married life. We are your hosts, Monty and Janine Mora, and we're glad you're joining us for another episode.
Yes, we are. So we are coming off of a really powerful week of just being on this high, would you say, like this Rocky Mountain High?
Yes.
We were in Denver, Colorado last weekend for a very special Valentine's Day event with Victory Outreach Denver, and it was just amazing. We had a great time with all the couples there, being back with Victory Outreach and our pastors that pretty much we were raised in that church from teenager up to our 20s, I believe. And it was just great to be back there and being used by the Lord to minister to marriages. It was powerful. We enjoyed it. We were so grateful to be there. And we have a message that we want to share with you because we felt like it was just a perfect message for marriages, not just for them last weekend, but we also feel like it can be a great message for those of you listening and watching today.
Yeah, so we're going to be taking that content that we shared at the banquet and we're going to translate it into today's podcast. And so we felt it's going to be very beneficial for everybody. And so we're going to dive in. The actual title of the message that we had was called Greatest Hits, a Love Song Remix. Mm-hmm. And we took this idea of how a married couple can look at their marriage in like through the lens of a love song, that you're writing your love song with each experience, with each year passing by, that you as a couple, you're writing, you're creating that beautiful love song in your marriage.
Right. And we talked about how every great love song has like three great elements to them. And why don't you tell them what those are?
Yeah. So the first element of every good love song is a good love song really touches to the basic human need to be loved and to be accepted. And this whole idea of like every human being in the world, they want to be loved. They want to be cherished. They want to be accepted by somebody. And we are talking about this importance of the law of acceptance. Mm-hmm. Like that's important for us as human beings. And then the second element of a great love song has to do with a great love song really elevates the person that is being spoken to, and it holds them in such a high regard.
Right.
And it's about truly cherishing the person that you love. And we talked about the law of priority, like prioritizing the person in your life that you love and putting them on your priority list, the top priority list.
Of course. Yeah. And then the third was that it communicates a sense of safety and purpose, right?
Yeah.
So the safety, meaning that that person is telling you, you have a safe place with me and you also have a purpose. So a great love song will have all these three elements in it. And so if you know of a great love song that has stood the test of time over years, you know, going back all the way to love songs of the 50s and 60s up until today, and you hear those love songs being played, they probably have those elements within them because they have a staying power.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we were dating? And do you remember the mixtape I sent you?
Yes. So actually that applies to, I would say that the third, that it communicates a place of, or a sense of security and purpose.
Yeah.
So when I was in college, when Monty and I were dating, I think we might've shared this story briefly before, but we didn't share this part.
Yeah.
So how Monty wooed me back to Pueblo was he sent me a mixtape of all these love songs. And one in particular really just got me. It was Can You Stop the Rain by Peebo Bryson. And I could just imagine him over in Pueblo just singing this song. And I thought, oh gosh, he needs me. I need to go back. I have a purpose. And so then all the other love songs just made me feel like I was someone who he really loved and I felt secure in his love. So that's how he got me back to Pueblo and brought me, he reeled me in from Alamosa.
Yeah.
It was a good love song. I mean, a good mixtape.
Yeah.
I wonder whatever happened to that.
I don't know. what happened to that mixtape. But you think about society's mixtape, mm-hmm. like how society views love and love songs in general.
Right.
Society's mixtape is kind of mixed up, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, think about when you ask Alexa or Siri, or, you know, when you ask to play a love song playlist or play love songs. I mean, sometimes it starts off really good. And then once you get two or three songs down, you're actually listening to breakup songs and, you know, songs that are inappropriate, or you're talking about the other person in a way you shouldn't be talking about them, you know? Yeah. So it's like, they have it all mixed up. That's not the kind of love that we want to express to one another. So mm-hmm. yeah, usually they have it pretty messed
up. It's pretty mixed up, because like the society's love song, or what we call the world's love song, mm-hmm. It has so many different elements to it, to where, like you said, it's about breaking up, you know, drinking Tennessee whiskey, sitting on a bar, asking yourself, I want to know what love is, right? Type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is so
staring
distorted.
Staring at the neon moon.
The neon moon.
Whatever. All of those things. So, I mean, some of those are really good breakup love songs. We've come to the end of the road, you know, all those. But yeah, that's not the love that we want to express between a husband and a wife. So be careful what you ask Siri or Alexa for when you're wanting to set a romantic evening.
Yeah.
Candlelight dinner.
Yeah. We were talking about the counterfeit love that society has today, you know, and how, like, we see this, you know, going back to the book of Genesis, we go back to that, that story often, because that's the Genesis, that's the beginning of marriage. And when, you know, God created marriage, we see right away in chapter 3 that the enemy, the serpent, the snake, comes on in and he tries to create something counterfeit or counterproductive to what God had designed for Adam and Eve. And so here we see, like in chapter 2, here we see Adam is made. Eve's not here yet. Mm-hmm. God hadn't made her yet from his rib. And then in chapter 3, God, you know, brings them together. I'm sorry, chapter 2, God brings them together. And then in chapter 3, we see at that point where the enemy comes in, the serpent, the snake, and he attacks the first marriage. Mm-hmm. But notice that when Adam was alone and he didn't have Eve, the enemy didn't mess with him.
Right.
He didn't tempt him. He didn't come at him. He didn't try to, you know, talking to him and deceiving mm-hmm. him. It wasn't until God created them husband and wife, bone and my bone, flesh and my flesh, and declared them a husband and wife.
Yes.
And then the enemy comes in the garden and he attacked the very first marriage.
Yeah.
And he's still doing the same thing today.
Yeah. I feel like the enemy was in the corner somewhere watching what God was doing. Like, what is he doing? You know, making the heavens and the earth and the waters and all of the animals. And then he created this being of that is as of his image. Mm-hmm. I think he started to get curious. But then, like you said, the moment he created the helper.
Mm. Yes.
What is the helper?
Yeah, the Ezer Kenigdo in Hebrew.
Ezer Kenigdo. Wow. That became a threat to the enemy. He, at that point, he was like, oh no, something is happening that I need to stop. Because I believe it's the synergy of and the power of the helper and, you know, the husband and the wife coming together and being able to accomplish so much. Not only accomplishing a lot for the kingdom of God, but they can reproduce and make many more of these images of God that the enemy was seeing, you know, because we were creating God's image.
Yes.
And he's like, oh no, we need to put a stop to this, because he was threatened.
Mm-hmm.
He was threatened with marriage.
Yeah, he was.
So he's doing everything he can to destroy marriage back from the garden.
The Garden of Eden, yeah. Mm-hmm. The counterfeit. The enemy is a counterfeit.
Yeah.
And so we have to be aware of that.
These counterfeits.
Especially in our marriage relationship. Yeah. So I think the world today needs what we call a redeemed playlist.
For sure.
Right. And that's something that, you know, of course, we're people of faith. We are Christians. And we really believe that as Christians, having a Christian marriage, that we have something to offer to the world that is more redemptive and more pure and more restorative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what society needs today.
Yeah. But even with that, Monty, as Christians, we can get things a little mixed up as well. I mean, that happened with our marriage, our relationship. When we came together at the altar, we were both Christians. We loved the Lord with all our heart. You know, we knew we were called into ministry. We knew we had a purpose for the kingdom of God. And we jumped into our marriage and we just hit the ground running in ministry. But there was something out of place. And that something out of place was putting each other first. And that's exactly like what we've seen in the Garden of Eden. God wants us to put husband and wife first. I mean, he created heaven and earth. He made the creation, husband and then wife. Then everything else was supposed to fall into place. And when we get out of that order, no matter what we're doing, whether we're doing God's work, you know, we're working on our own careers, whatever it is, family, raising kids, if we're not putting each other first, you know, just as God intended us to do, it gets all mixed up. And that's what happened in our marriage.
We got to clarify on in the order of priority. We know automatically that God is to be priority. He's proton. He's first in our in our life. But then when it comes to the human relationship on earth, this is where this priority happens between a husband and a wife. So I just wanted to clarify that because people can be hearing like, hey, God's supposed to be first. Yes, he is. And that's
human the most important thing. Good job. Way to clarify that. So I think in with like 5 years into our marriage, we've seen that collapse happen. And, you know, it was like our love song was playing. I mean, so we thought it sounded good right at the, the end. We just came and got the needle to our, you know, when you on the turntable.
The album.
On the album and just scratched that baby. And we just thought it came to a halt. It came to a halt. And we were like, what is going on?
The enemy was really like doing a lot of scratching on our turntable, right?
He was
in our
playing
marriage.
DJ.
He was like, DJ, the devil jockey, just chur. And he really scratched our love song at year five, where there was just hurt and betrayal and anger and frustration. There was a lot going on during that time in our life. But thank God that just because there's a scratch or a few scratches on our love song, it doesn't mean the love song was over,
We didn't have to toss out the record. He got that record and he's like, let me remix this. And that happened about what, 7 to 8 years into our marriage. But before that was able to happen, and there was a lot of healing that had to happen between the two collaborators, right? So when a love song, you know, like in any love song where there's those collaborators, there's a different... I mean, there's reasons why you collaborate, right? Because that person brings something different to the song. And that it makes a beautiful song. But I think with us, we really had to work on ourselves first, getting that relationship right. There's a lot of holes, a lot of healing that need to happen and take place first, because there was this the principle of transference that was happening between you and I, where we were trying to fill these voids that were in our own lives, and we were trying to fill them with other things and with each other. With our, you know, me with my children, trying to fill voids that I felt like were being left by you, which shouldn't have even been filled by you, because they should have been filled first by God. And so all those things were happening within our lives, and God did a really deep work in us. And then it was then... 7 to 8 years where we really begin to see just healing happening and taking place. God was working on the two collaborators. He brought us back together. And we were able to come under his label, right? His authority and what he designed marriage to look like. And he began to rewrite our song.
And it was at that point, that 7 and 8 year mark, where we felt like God was doing a remix with our love, with our love song, right? There was a true remix taking place. And here we are 28 years into marriage. And I think through the power of God, you know, we've been able to, through him, we've been able to create a very, very good love song. Yeah. A few scratches on the record, but definitely
just
a redemption.
A little bit. Yeah. Makeup for, you know, like CDs and all of that are all like, they created something so much better. MP3s, like just the journey of how music has been made over the years that we've experienced. And here we are, just, you're able just to say, hey,
Alexa.
Hey, Alexa, play such and such, and boom, your music plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just...
We have truly evolved in the music world and industry. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But when you think about like a married couple, mm-hmm. when they put Christ in the center of their marriage, where he is their DNA, their marriage DNA mm-hmm. is God. It really changes the course of the marriage relationship. And I think that was huge for us when we learned that you can be two Christians and be married, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a Christian marriage.
Right.
And I think that was our challenge, is we assumed that, but it wasn't until later we had to learn how to put Christ mm-hmm. as the center of our marriage. And then once we did that, it literally changed the very nature of our relationship, of how we related to each other and how we lived our life together, because now Christ was central. There's a big word called Christocentric. Mm-hmm. Is the word, but our marriage had now become Christocentric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we miss the whole God is love, right? We hear that all the time, but just the whole, like you said, the DNA of God and how he mm-hmm. loves us,
mm-hmm.
we miss that part. So I think you should jump into the scripture in Song of Solomon to talk about how beautiful the love of God truly is. Mm-hmm. I think every time I get to a dark place where the enemy would just try to bring me to a place of depression or anxiety, or, you know, those things that I struggled with in the past, and he tries to reel me back in, I have to combat those things with listening to worship and reminding myself of how much God loves us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the classic...
I know where you're going.
Yeah. The Relentless Love.
Or How He Loves Us.
How He Loves Us. Like all these songs. And it just feeds our spirit and reminds us how amazing God's love is. And then how he expects us to love each other.
Yeah.
So
worship is, I think worship is, it's God's love song to us, right?
Absolutely.
So we engage in worship. We mm-hmm. feel the love of God. Well, 1 John 4:8 reminds us, and let this be the soundtrack, your love soundtrack. It says God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's important. In order for a marriage to really experience a true love song, a true love story, God has to be the center of it, because God is love.
Yeah, he's the greatest love songwriter of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
No one trumps God.
Mm-mm, definitely not. Yay, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So jumping to Songs of Solomon,
mm-hmm.
in the book of Song of Solomon, it tells of this intimate love story between Solomon and his Shulamite wife. And it tells about their relentless love towards each other, their dating, their betrothal, their marriage, and the intimacy that they mm-hmm. experience in their relationship. So listen to this verse that we're going to read in Songs of Solomon 8, verse 6 and 7. And you can almost hear it as the love lyrics of Solomon and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 says, "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire." I love it. "Like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned."
Not enough.
Yeah. What a beautiful love song story, lyrics between Solomon and his Shulamite wife.
Yeah. And we can relate with the part that says, many waters cannot quench love. Mm-hmm. Rivers cannot sweep it away.
Yeah.
Because we felt like many times in our marriage, we were drowning and we would come up for breath. And then we just felt like we were going to be taken away. We were going to be swept away by these overwhelming currents that just seemed like these waves that were way too big for us to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of that deep love that God has for us that we were able to reflect on and say, this is too good. Like God wants so much for us, and he desires to have that same love moving in our lives towards one another, another as husband and wife. And so that was our hope.
Yeah.
Like, God, you created us in your image, and you also created marriage to reflect the love that Christ has for the church.
Yeah.
We want that.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to go hard after that. And so here we are,
mm-hmm.
praising God and thanking him for his mercy and his grace.
Yeah. To God be the glory.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think makes a great remix song? Like, what are some of those elements that make a great remix song?
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to have two collaborators working together.
Yeah.
Under the God label.
The God
right?
label.
The label of God coming under and being under that label and allowing him mm-hmm. to do the work.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure when we watched, it reminded me of the...
We Are the World.
Yes, that was so amazing. How many artists came together and all these ideas that they had, but in order for it to be a success, they had to submit their own genre styles
sure.
to the main person who was running it, right? Yeah. I think Quincy
it was
Jones.
Quincy was Jones, but Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie were the two writers mm-hmm. of the song.
Right.
Yeah.
So having to come in agreement, like laying down their ideas, thoughts, and just submitting to that, then they were able to create that beautiful, mm-hmm. That song, that ballad.
Yeah.
So same thing in marriage. You might have your own ideas, thoughts, whatever genre you might feel like you're singing. In order to come together and make a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And come under that label that God is just wanting to produce, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to say yes, yeah. God, to you.
Yeah.
Our own ideas and thoughts about marriage and what we might have seen growing up. It's got to all come under the authority of God and, mm-hmm. and just being submissive and,
sure.
and obedient.
Yeah, yeah. So the husband and wife are the two collaborators
mm-hmm.
working under God's label, which
yeah.
is designed for marriage. God is the producer
mm-hmm.
of our marriage love song, and that means we follow God's design for marriage, and when we follow his design for marriage with our love song, that's when we begin to see the favor,
mm-hmm.
and that love song can become one of God's greatest hits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You think we got a gold record in our future sometime soon?
Heck yeah.
Platinum? Platinum's the highest, right?
Well, you think about the streets of gold in heaven, definitely
oh,
we got some gold stuff coming our way.
So awesome. yeah.
Yeah.
That was right off the dome.
Yeah. yeah.
It's the best kind.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, let's kind of end our podcast today, our episode, with a challenge, a mm-hmm. mandate that how we ended it at the Valentine's Day banquet. We really, and I loved how you put those words to it, and you really gave that charge and that challenge to the couples at night. So you think you can replicate that?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's just a different
platform
but yeah. The challenge is still real. The
sure.
challenge is still the same. So I think of our families, mm-hmm. our own children, and that's the challenge to you. The world is looking for something to listen to in order to model their marriages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to be loved. They mm-hmm. want to have that love.
Mm-hmm.
We also just watched another movie about a certain artist who through their whole life was just seeking a loved. She desired so much to be loved, and she just failed time and time
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that, like, you know what, God, people are seeking so hard for a love that is pure and that is worthy of
mm-hmm.
of just putting all their hope into.
Sure.
And that this is what love is. Like you said, God is love. That's the love story. Mm-hmm. That's the love song that we need to be playing from our lives, right? So our children want to be listening to something that is going to give them hope and give them a replacement for the counterfeit that they see at school
Something
and in
authentic.
The world. Authentic.
Yeah.
You are that you are that song. Your marriage is that example. Mm-hmm. And we want to challenge you that every time the enemy would try to come in and say your record is not worth playing, that you would not accept that. That you would truly just understand or just grasp the truth and what God's desire is for your marriage and come under that label with your spouse and say, no, we are going to write this love song together and allow God to use us to display to the world. Mm-hmm. Because it's, like we said before at the beginning, their mixtape, the world's mixtape, is all mixed up and they need to hear something that is worth listening to. And your marriage is worth listening to. Your marriage is worth watching. Mm-hmm. It might not be exactly where you want it to be, but it's worth continuing to rewrite and sit at the table and allow God to just encourage you through that writing, through the verses,
through the verses,
the bridge.
Yeah. Over troubled waters.
No, I was thinking like the bridge in a song.
Yes. Well, there you have it. Your marriage is a love song. So view your marriage as that love song. So our goal at the Favorite Marriage Podcast is to help married couples stay strong in their marriage relationship together. So we want you as a married couple to walk out on the red carpet of Christ that He has prepared for you and sing your song and trust that God will make your marriage one of His greatest hits of all time.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our time together, we'd like to share a few things with our listeners today. We launched our brand new merchandise. Let's show it. Here we are. Keep showing.
Where are you going?
Where are we going? Keep showing up. This is our new merchandise. We have hoodies. We have crew necks. We got t-shirts. And so these have been selling like crazy. Yeah. And it's crazy. People love these and we're seeing a lot of people wear these and, posting on our Facebook page and social media with their keep showing up apparel. And so if you would like to purchase some of this merchandise, you can go to our website, thefavoritemarriage.com and a resource page, and you can just put your orders in there and we'll get that shipped out to you as soon as possible.
Right.
And the second thing we want to make mention to you today is if you enjoyed the podcast, you enjoy what you're hearing from our podcast, go on to Apple, go on to Spotify and follow, like, share a review with us.
YouTube.
And YouTube, our YouTube channel, Not the Favorite Marriage. We're on Instagram, TikTok. I mean, virtually every social media platform, including Pinterest.
Yeah.
So if you like what you're hearing, please go and share with your family members, neighbors, and friends. And you're going to find all of our contact information and additional information about this specific podcast in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. And as always, we pray that you would experience
God's favor
on your forever.
On your forever. Thanks for listening to The Favorite Marriage, where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever. If you enjoyed this resource, please leave us a review and share it with your friends. We'll see you next time on The Favorite Marriage Podcast.